You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Confusion,
amplifying truth,
and pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, coming up, it is Thursday, so Shelley Goldberg will be here to help us get our Parenting Express on. Bree Payton with a very troubling story about what someone said about wiping out the nation of Israel yesterday. We're also going to do some analysis of that missionary who died in the South Pacific, and we start with the big headline of the day from the White House.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
He's a weak person, and what he's trying to do is get a reduced sentence. So he's lying about a project that everybody knew about. I mean, we were very open with it.
All right. What the president is talking about there is the fact that one of his former attorneys, one of his former advisors, and what some people called fixers, has struck a plea deal with Bob Mueller. Welcome, Kevin McCullough. Glad to have you with us. It is a very busy news Thursday in what has been a generally slow news week, but we've got a lot to get to. Coming up, it's going to be a fantastic hour. You're going to have the latest on everything that you need to know about. Bree Payton's going to be with us from The Federalist. She was one of several reporters yesterday that actually reported on some comments from Mark Lamont Hill, a CNN commentator and someone that used to be at Fox News. I used to do segments opposite Mark on I don't know, two dozen times something. We actually were somewhat friendly with each other off the air. But yesterday he made a speech before the UN in which he basically said that there should exist a Palestine that is free from the river to the sea. And I don't know of any other way to interpret that than to say that Israel should be wiped off the map and that a Palestinian state should take its place. You know, there's never been a state of Palestine, right? You know that. So the fact that he said that, very troubling to many Israelis. And we will discuss that with Bree Payton coming up later this hour. And then, of course, Shelley's here. It's Thursday, so we always take a little time out to help us refine the parenting skills. But let me get right back to the first top story of the day, and that is Michael Cohen pleading guilty to the Bob Mueller probe concerning a few specific items, one of which has to do with this, this supposed hotel deal that they were putting together for the Trump Organization to pursue a branded property in Moscow. Here's how the president responded to it. Cut two.
It was a well-known project. It was during the early part of 16, and I guess even before that. It lasted a short period of time. I didn't do the project. I decided not to do the project.
Because he had other things to do. Cut three.
The primary reason, it was very simple. I was focused on running for president. There would be nothing wrong if I did do it. I was running my business while I was campaigning.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really interesting. I just need to hit pause on this for a second, because you're going to hear a lot of pundits on from every angle talking about this from purely a political perspective. But I want to add one other lens to look at it through, which is this. You remember this man was never in politics before, right? We do remember that. Like, he had to feed his family and work his job and do his life until he was elected president. Like, that's what you do when you're a citizen candidate, when you're someone that hasn't made a professional living. I was having lunch with a colleague the other day, and we were talking about the congressional loss of Dan Donovan on Staten Island. And this particular colleague has deep knowledge of the Staten Island inside political arena, and it was basically relaying to me why the dominoes are going to fall a certain way so that in 2020 the likely congressional candidate for the district will be, and then he filled in the blank. And I found it to be immensely interesting because his rationale for why this person has to run for that office and this one over there is because they're all there's term limits on everybody. So you can't be reelected to that seat because that's term limited. So he's got to find something else. Literally, he's got to find a job to support family. This person has to find a job to support themselves. This person has to do this because they, and the concept is, well, it's just a professional industry. Politics is like baking bread or, you know, putting tires on cars on the assembly line. You just go from one position to the next. And friends, I don't think that's how the founders ever envisioned government in America. I think they envisioned that those of us that run businesses and work hard and try to pay our taxes and not speed on the expressways and so forth, we would do those things. And then every now and then we would say, okay, I'll step up and serve for a while and I'll go help manage everything if you'll put your faith and trust in me. And so they put our faith and trust in, then you go do it a little bit and then you step down and somebody else does it. There's a town, I'm thinking it's Wyckoff, New Jersey. I may have this wrong, but I think Wyckoff, New Jersey actually doesn't even elect a mayor. They have a city council or village council. And then those people are elected, and then they rotate the mayoral duties between the four or five people that are elected to the council. And the idea is you're going to have people volunteering and stepping up to serve and doing things because it's not going to be an industry. You know, no one's going to get rich off of it. I mean, in my conversation with my colleague the other day, it's like, well, this job pays such and such. And so there's this public advocate position that's being held open in New York right now. Right. And someone was wanting to apply for the assistant, the deputy for that position, because the deputy's position of a job that we're not even really sure that New Yorkers want will pay in essence of six figures. This is the problem. This is part of the problem with politics. President Trump had a life. He needed to be running his business. He had looked at doing what he's done in China, in Scotland, in who all knows wherever the other Trump properties are. He's got them all over the place where he does a branded property. And he does them in a couple of ways. Some of them he owns outright and they're his. Some of them he leases his name to, and so he gets say over what goes into it because he's attached his name and his franchise to it. But whatever the case is, this is what he does. This is what his business was, real estate. So in late 2015 through early 2016, the latest June of 2016, which, by the way, what was happening then? Well, the primary was starting to wrap up, and it looked like he was going to win the primary. So by the end of the spring and early part of the summer of 2016, you only had a couple of primaries left. He had it wrapped up. They go and do the convention, and by the time the convention's done, he's not even thinking about the real estate business anymore. Now he has to focus on running for the general election. So there's I don't really believe that there's much of anything here. So I don't know why, when Michael Cohen was asked about it, when he was before Congress, back whenever it was, however many months ago, I don't know why he lied about it. He said that all conversations stopped in January between the Trump Organization and the Russia investments, where they were going to do the hotel. It lasted until June, possibly. Okay, so it lasted until June. Why you lie about that? I don't understand. Why do that? But I haven't seen or heard, and it'll be interesting to get some legal perspective on this, but I haven't seen or heard anything that suggests that from the time that the president became the nominee for his party, that they were striking some deal with the Russians to infiltrate the election and to do this or that, which is what the charge of collusion is, which isn't even a crime. So people are still stuck on, well, is he going to be indicted? You can't even talk about indicting a president right now because there's no crime that's charged. Now, Michael Cohen committed a crime. You can't lie to Congress. That's a crime. Whatever plea deal he got, he should serve the consequence for that. If Paul Manafort lied to the FBI or to Congress or anybody else, he should suffer the consequences of that. But there's been precious little, if any, evidence that demonstrates that the president had anything to do with asking the Russians or enlisting the Russians or getting the Russians to fix votes or whatever. They spent $100,000 on Facebook ads, and they split that between Hillary and Trump, and the Trump campaign alone did $90 million in Facebook ads. I mean, that's how insane this whole comparison is. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to yet on today's show. I hope you'll stay with us. And later on, Bree Payton, Shelley Goldberg, all straight ahead. Kevin McCullough Radio. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, nobody knows more about sleep than my good friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow. And you know his pillows are fantastic, but I got to tell you about something else that's equally incredible. When we were about to have ankle biter number 3, my little baby Charlotte, he gave us the MyPillow bed topper. And it radically changed the way my wife experienced that pregnancy. In fact, it kept her in comfort, and we have never been without it since. In fact, even just this morning, I nestled back down in going, oh, this is the best bed topper I've ever felt on any bed ever. It's 3 layers that help give you the support you need, but it also helps evenly distribute your body weight and, most importantly, regulate your body temperature with its ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. The MyPillow mattress topper is the perfect upgrade to any bed you can imagine, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. You can wash it, and it's made in the USA, and it's backed by Mike's famous 60-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. Check out the great deal that you're going to get, 30% off the mattress topper plus 2 free pillows when you call. Dial 800-506-2641 and use promo code WMCA. Go to MyPillow.com and make sure you use the promo code WMCA. That number again, 800-506-2641, promo code WMCA. Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. Every week we promise you that Mike Connors is going to answer one of your questions about estate care or elder law, and this week is no exception. What are the consequences of not having a power of attorney prepared in the case of incapacitation? Now, this could happen to anybody at any time. I mean, who knows what's going to actually happen to you when you step off a sidewalk on any given day. Mike Connors, what's your answer?
Well, you know, that is a very good question because, you know, the results could be catastrophic. You don't have a power of attorney, and let's say you're mentally incapacitated. Many times you have to go to court and go to guardian appointed. And a guardianship proceeding is extremely embarrassing to the person who's what they call the AIP, the alleged incapacitated person, because sometimes you get court-appointed lawyers who ask questions like, who's the president of the United States, things like that, which can be terribly embarrassing to a person who has limited capacity. And not only that, it's expensive. You know, lawyers, you get court-appointed lawyers who, you know, make money off these guardianships. So you're paying for your own family lawyer, you're paying for a court-appointed lawyer, you may be paying for an independent review lawyer, so to speak. It gets expensive, and after that everything has to go through the court. If you have a power of attorney, and assuming you have a person you can trust, and that's a big assumption too, but assuming you have a person you can trust, they can handle this all without going through court. And for the most part, you know, as part of estate planning and elder law, we want to avoid going through court. That's our goal,
right?
And if you don't have a power of attorney, you're asking for it. And then sometimes hundreds, if not $1 million, could be lost through the guardianship between having to get courts work in a very slow manner. You want to get court approval to do something. It may take 9 months, it may take a year.
Right. Well, friends, it's something to think about. And if you have more questions about it, call Mike's office, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And if you've got a question for Mike Connors, askmikeconnors@gmail.com. He'll answer it right here at Kevin McCullough Radio. askmikeconnors@gmail.com. And then be listening to Ask the Lawyer Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 570 The Mission, and Saturday evenings at 6 on AM 970, The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Are you looking for a Christian academic community? Do you want to connect your career and your calling? Alumni of Nyack College and Alliance Theological Seminary serve in public schools, emergency rooms, and Fortune 500 companies. They're leaders, accountants, and community builders. They're teachers, nurses, ministers, and counselors. Nyack's classes are small. Students and faculty develop strong relationships with each other. Majors include business, leadership, social work, Bible and ministry, counseling, and education. Nyack places special emphasis on the integration of faith, learning, and spiritual transformation. They fulfill their calling by helping you fulfill yours. Weekend, evening, and online courses are available, and special programs are available for working adults. Let NIAC serve you so that you can become the person God intends you to become. To learn if NIAC's undergraduate, graduate, or seminary programs is right for you, come to an open house on Wednesday, December 5th at 5:30 p.m. at the Manhattan campus. You'll hear from faculty, admissions, and current students, and learn more about scholarships and financial aid opportunities. For more information, go to NIAC.edu or call 877-626-2236. 877-626-2236 or NIAC.edu.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. So you've heard me rave about David Fisher and Landmark Capital for the last couple of years. And if you haven't, then listen up, because David is the CEO of Landmark Capital on my show every Monday with Money Monday. And he has 25 years of experience in the markets. He knows what he is talking about. That's why he wants to help you protect your money when the market goes through corrections, as it did in October. How does he plan to do that? Well, since Donald Trump is opening up trade and making America great again, David thought, what better way to celebrate trade than by giving away a 1915 St. Gaudens gold coin that celebrates the opening of the Panama Canal, a historic event that linked trade from east to west. As an investment, this coin has and will stand the test of time. It's an investment-grade coin. He's never given one of these away before. Paper money continues to devalue, and David wants to make sure you're prepared and protected when it does. So call Landmark today to learn how you can help protect your money. And don't forget to enter to win the St. Gaudens gold coin, a personal consultation with expert David Fisher, and a book on the history of U.S. coins. Head over to am570themission.com and enter today. Or call them at 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. There's been a story that has been swimming under the top headlines for a few days, particularly for people of faith. And I really wanted to get the author of a really interesting piece from The Federalist today on with me, but he was not able to be reached. Lyman Stone, a research fellow at the Institute for Family Studies. We reached out to him very aggressively today, but did not hear back from him. And if I do in the near future, I may invite him to come on, because I think his premise is very, 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 very compelling. But let me tell you the story I'm talking about. Have you seen the headline in the last few days about a young man named John Chow? He had gone to a very remote place in the Indian Ocean, attempting to spread the gospel to an isolated people group. And you've probably heard some evangelical and Christian leaders speaking up for him. Some of them have called him a martyr. He was shot to death with arrows by the people that he had hoped to evangelize. That's on one. And then people that have been critical of him have accused him, particularly from the political left, have said that he was engaged in a colonizing project, that his missionary work was nothing more than colonialist and exploitative in terms of how it went down. And you know, I think for thoughtful Christians that believe in the truth of Scripture and in, you know, gospel-focused missionary work, I think this story has been frustrating for a lot of people. Because the conservative media and the liberal media have both, I think, taken wrong positions on this. I don't think that he was trying to colonialize anyone, okay? I don't think he was out there trying to turn them into the USA. And that's what the left is saying about his work there in general. But I also think that it's possible that some of us in evangelicalism are looking at this story a little bit foolishly as well. And I already thought this, and then I read Mr. Stone's work today, and it just reinforced a lot of the things that I had been feeling. Now, what do we know about this guy? He's a graduate of Oral Roberts University. It's a huge university in Oklahoma, Christian University. He had then gone to a short training course at a place called All Nations, their standard kind of evangelical missionary sending organization. And so that's basically what he kind of had before he took off. And he's served on the mission field in places like Kurdistan. He led some soccer camps there. He did some stuff in South Africa. Neither one of which are necessarily, you know, undeveloped. He's an EMT, so he has some experience with, emergency medical stuff. And he's pretty good with social media. So, you know, he documented a lot of the stuff that he was doing. And when you look at his Instagram account, his time in the Sentinel Island in the Indian Ocean, kind of looks like a travel guide showing all the adventures he's doing, etc., etc. And it's one of the quote last uncontacted places on Earth. Now, of course, it's not that. There's no real place on Earth that is uncontacted anymore. As far back as the 1880s, you had British Navy that were coming through this area, some of them did not do good things. In fact, there was a British admiral that probably kidnapped and returned some children to the island, possibly sexually abusing them back in the 1880s. So they don't have a high view of people coming in from the outside. But again, that's more than 100 years old. You're talking a very, very long time ago. And so there's this idea that they're going to be somewhat hesitant to work with this guy, but I think there's a legitimate question to ask here. Was he really prepared to go do what he did? You know, missionary work isn't an Instagram adventure. You're not out there to shoot pictures and, you know, let the world see it. Like, this is not, that's not what this should be about. This should be about a really clear assessment of what you're going into and then being as prepared as possible to go into it. And Lyman Stone argues in The Federalist today that it is really important for the church and for Christians to understand what went wrong on his mission so that as we think about mission work in the days to come, we don't get this wrong. So you remember back in 1956, the Christian missionaries murdered in Ecuador. Elizabeth Elliot, Through Gates of Splendor, all that. 2006, they made the movie End of the Spear, kind of identified all these things. But these men were martyred for their faith in circumstances that seem on their surface similar, but the comparisons are really unfair. First of all, Chow was not these five men. They had 15 years of experience working with various related people groups in Ecuador as missionaries prior to going to the unreached people group. They had done intense linguistic preparation. Chow didn't speak any of the languages of the people that he was trying to come into contact with. And some would say that he kind of recklessly put himself in danger for a project that he really wasn't prepared for. And though you can be well-intentioned and you can have, you know, a real heart to try to do this, if your plan hasn't, if you haven't prepared for your plan properly, you may end up doing more harm than good. In fact, his expedition has led to the arrests of seven other people, including possibly another missionary in India, because of what he did. Now, the other thing that I want to get to this is that as admirable as we look at martyrs to be, and we say, you know, what those five guys did in Ecuador, that was really amazing, that shouldn't be the goal of missionary work. The goal of missionary work should be to share the gospel. And if you're not sharing the gospel, and you're not prepared to share the gospel, then you're not really doing the missionary work. And it's too important. Paul talked about it. Don't be embarrassing with the work of the church. The gospel's important. It's life-giving. It's the most important piece of communication that's ever been communicated. So we should be doing it very, very well. And doing missions poorly doesn't glorify the God who made us. All right, Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. Time to talk about one of my favorite restaurants, the one and only legendary Dino and Harry's Steakhouse in Hoboken, New Jersey. If you've never been to Dino and Harry's, I suggest you get there as soon as you can and find out why it has been rated the number one steakhouse in all of New Jersey. The food is too good to describe. From mouthwatering steaks and seafood to chicken dishes, fresh vegetables, unbelievable appetizers, the list goes on and on. Everything prepared to your liking. Not only is the food fantastic, but the decor, it's like going back in time, turn-of-the-century saloon, vaulted ceilings, tile floors, enormous windows, and who could forget that beautiful hand-carved cherry wood bar. They even film scenes from on the waterfront in City Hall in this legendary place. Go online to DinoandHarrys.com, check out the menu, and make reservations. You never know which celebrity or sports star might be dining next to you. Call 201-659-6202. That's 201-659-6202. Dino and Harry's at 163rd 14th Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Make your reservations today and tell them your friend Kevin McCullough said hi.
Join Ireland's own Keith and Kristen Getty, known for modern hymns and carols such as In Christ Alone, for their 7th annual tour of Sing an Irish Christmas at Carnegie Hall, Thursday evening, December 13th at 7:30. The Gettys are joined by their band of instrumentalists fusing Celtic, bluegrass, Americana, modern and classical music, along with cultural dance and the choral sounds of the holiday. Come sing along with Keith and Kristen and their special friends Phil Keggy, John Patitucci, and Tim Keller, pastor of Redeemer Church, for a program in celebration of the season, featuring a choir of over 200 voices, including members of the Times Square Church and servants of the King Choir from Hawthorne Christian Academy. Keith and Kristen Getty's songs are sung by an estimated 100 million people each year in churches and concert halls on every major continent. Celebrate the true story of Christmas by singing your faith with thousands of believers at Carnegie Hall Thursday evening, December 13th. Tickets are available at carnegiehall.org and Carnegie Charge at 212-247-7800. That's 212-247-7800 or visit Getty Music.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. A
Eliminating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, the news rolling on today, and another rather big story, at least in my opinion and in my world of concern, and these are stories that that I repeatedly come back to and have a lot of touch points on, but there was someone, I actually used to debate this guy on Fox News on a regular basis. He hasn't been around the Fox universe in quite a while. I think he's been over at CNN. But Mark Lamont Hill, who had been a college professor, at least at two different universities, I think he was at NYU and then he was at somewhere in Philadelphia, made a rather remarkable statement yesterday. And many writers have picked up on this and are talking about what it means. But I want to go to the Federalist's Bree Payton. She is their reporter. She files several items, seems like a day, and many, many per week. And she rejoins us from the Washington, D.C. area. Bree, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
So what did CNN contributor and former professor Mark Lamont Hill say yesterday?
Sure. So in a speech to the UN, he basically said that, you know, contrary to Western mythology, black resistance to American apartheid wasn't always nonviolent. It wasn't the Gandhi approach. It wasn't always the Martin Luther King approach. And he said that Palestinians living in, you know, the West Bank, living in Gaza, should be basically allowed to do the same kind of thing. So basically, he's comparing the situation of Palestinians to African Americans who were enslaved, and he's saying that, you know, violent slave revolts were a good thing in the long run, and that Palestinians should be allowed like these same liberties and these same measures of resistance. Basically kind of saying that Palestinians should be allowed to, you know, revolt against the Israelis. Yeah, and violently act out against them. And then he kind of ended with an interesting line, which is, he, you know, concluded his remarks by saying that, and that we should have a free Palestine from the river to the sea, which I didn't realize, you know, before earlier, but basically this is a phrase that a lot of the phrase that has been adopted by the PLO. It's a phrase that Hamas frequently uses in justifying violent actions against Israelis. And you know, even if you don't know that, even if you don't know that it's kind of a violent dog whistle, you know, it, just hearing about it, literally, a free Palestine from the river, talking about the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, I mean, geographically speaking, and from a literal standpoint, that would require the elimination of the state of Israel, say for, you know, the Golan Heights or different things like that.
Right.
So it's clear that what he is saying is that he thinks that Israel should be obliterated off the map virtually, and that he thinks that violent uprisings are justified for the Palestinians, right? And then he kind of repeated this line that a lot of, frankly, terrorist organizations use to justify their violent actions against innocent Israelis. So
what's overall, interesting about that? Yeah, what's interesting about that is that he'll put it in those words, and then he'll say, "But I'm not calling for the elimination of Israel." And he'll say,
yeah,
that I never say anything like that.
67 borders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He does try to couch it in those terms, but I mean, and he was saying, you know, on Twitter last night, he was kind of saying like, oh, a free Palestine from river to the sea means a lot of different things. I'm just calling for, you know, equal treatment of Palestinians living in Israel, different things like that. That's not what that phrase means.
Well, you're absolutely right. And there's a couple of inconsistencies about this. And I know you've been to Israel and I've been several times. The interesting thing about the state of Israel as a state is that there are many Arab Palestinian Arabs that live in the state of Israel as legal citizens, and they prefer to live there as to the two Palestinian areas because they like the democracy and the freedom of what Israel offers them, and they live at peace with their neighbors side by side. You'll have an Arab family right next to an Israeli family, and they get along fine. The kids go to the same school, everything else. What he's doing here, there is no other way to interpret it other than calling for a violent overthrow of the established nation of Israel.
Right, exactly. And also, I mean, he's describing Israel as an apartheid state, and this is commonly a tactic that Palestinian activists like to use and like to say, you know, apartheid, meaning that individuals living in that land are denied the same protections under the law. They're, you know, denied the right to vote. They're denied a number of things. I think it's also important to point out that Israel offers citizenship to, you know, any Palestinians that are living in the confines of Israel or even living in the West Bank or Gaza. You know, they offer them the opportunity to become full citizens. It's just that a lot of Palestinians decide not to do that. They decide to live in Israel as a legal resident as opposed to a citizen,
right,
out of principle, because they're, you know, kind of protesting the state of Israel in that way, right?
They, yeah, they don't, or they have family Israeli in the they have family in the Palestinian areas, and it's bad for them socially to do that.
Right.
But you know what's interesting? There's also also representation in the representative body for them as well. Anyway, Bree Payton, great reporting, and thanks for the update. It is in today's Federalist, and I want you to go read it. A colleague of her, David Marcus, who's also on the show regularly, also has a follow-up piece that's actually quite good. CNN contributor endorses violence against Jews and calls for the destruction of Israel. Bree Payton, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. What do you do for the 2 o'clock lull? You know that one part of the afternoon where you just feel like you're dragging and you need a little pick-me-up, but you don't want to put harmful energy drinks in your body because they're not natural and they have too much caffeine and sugar and carbs in them for you to stay healthy? Well, what if I told you that there's a brand new one out that's loaded up with more absorbable CoQ10 and is caffeine-free, sugar-free, and carb-free? It's good for your joints. It's great for your heart. It'll hydrate you and energize you, or as we like to say, CoQ10ergize. Best of all, I've got a free sample waiting for you right now. All you have to do is go to this website, kmcfree.com. That's kmcfree.com. The first 100 people that go will get a free sample all to their own with free shipping included. kmcfree.com. CoQ10ergy. Hydrate and CoQ10ergize the healthy way. More absorbable CoQ10. Caffeine, sugar, and carb free. And it's free to you. kmcfree.com.
Ever wonder what it would take to actively trade in the U.S. stock market but with no previous experience? Well, TradeWade can teach you to trade, invest, and protect your money at a two-day event this Friday and Saturday at Nyack College in New York City, located at 2 Washington Street. For $99.95, you can bring anyone in your household plus a friend. And there's a money-back guarantee if this event isn't for you. Interested? Call 877-907-TRADE or visit events.tradeway.com. That's events.tradeway.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. It's Christmas time, and that means engagement time. If you or someone you know is shopping for an engagement ring, take my advice. Since it's one of the most important purchases of your lifetime, do yourself a favor and make sure you use a reputable, trustworthy jeweler that takes the time explaining every detail and making sure that you get the engagement ring that you'll be proud of for the rest of your life. It just so happens a lot of my friends, listeners, family, and more people than I can count I have told about, included myself and my bride, we've done our jewelry shopping with Anew and Lord's Diamonds. Not only are they caring, but you'll be included in the process from picking the diamond, designing the ring, with your input and your style, all the way through. You'll not get better service or quality anywhere. Make an appointment to see Anew and Lord's Diamonds now. The entire experience will be delightful. That's a promise. Call to set up an appointment with Anew, 212-789-8500. That's Lord's Diamonds, 212-789-8500. Or online at lordsdiamonds.com.
Everybody's making money at it except you. You're losing holiday business to your online competitors. Talk to us at Salem Surround, digital marketing experts who offer a free analysis of your online marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales coming out of this season. There are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround, increasing sales dramatically. Learn more by logging on to surroundnewyork.com. That's surroundnewyork.com.
For over 50 years, Chuck Swindoll has provided biblical insight for living. Now that wisdom is available in the Swindoll Study Bible.
Scripture is practical. It addresses life as it really is. I want to make the complicated simple, but not simplistic, so that anyone can grasp scriptural truth and deepen his or her walk with Jesus. That's my goal, and that's what you'll find when you read the Swindoll Study Bible.
Get your copy today.
For a free evaluation of your case, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT.
She's helped parents do it better since her days in New York One. Now, she helps you hack the parenting code, one tip at a time. Shelley Goldberg and the Parenting Express, exclusively at Kevin McCullough Radio.
Indeed, indeed. That means it's Thursday. And even though all this headline news has happened, we take just a couple of seconds to put the front page of the paper down and say, okay, now let's talk about something that is real news in all of our lives, and that is what is good for our children and for our families. And I'm so grateful that Shelley Goldberg has been doing this with us. If you ever miss any of our segments with Shelley, there's a whole archive of them at the Kevin McCullough podcast page on SoundCloud.com. You can also access that through the station's website. But it's called The Parenting Express. And if you go there, you can listen to all of them going back, all the way to last year. Shelley, this time of year, at least in the McCullough house, we turn to a different bunch of reading material. For instance, like before bedtime, while we're reading other stories during the year, now they want all the stories every night to be about Christmas. And you thought it would be fun to take a look at your bookshelf today. So what are we going to find on the bookshelf of Shelley Goldberg today?
Well, thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I'm calling the segment Shelley's Bookcase or Bookshelf because I've got these great books and I always want to share them. And you're giving me this wonderful opportunity to do just that.
Yeah.
So I found a book that I think is perfect for the season and the things that we really should be focusing on. It's called 20 Teachable Virtues, Practical Ways to Pass on Lessons of Virtue and Character to Your Children.
Mm.
So 20 Teachable Virtues, and the author is Dr. Jerry Wyckoff, W-Y-C-K-O-F-F.
Just like Wyckoff, New Jersey. Now, what do you like about this book in particular? What is it about this one? Because there's several that are out there that are on the, you know, the Book of Virtues by Dr. Bennett and some other things. What is it about this one that you like?
Well, thank you for asking. By the way, I have several on my bookshelf. I think that we live in a rather character-starved universe these days.
And I second that.
Right? I mean, is that a good way of expressing it?
You know, absolutely.
And I think anything that helps parents in a way that's simple, easy to read, easy to follow, you're not overwhelmed by it. You can read one chapter, put it down, come back to chapter two a couple of days later and just pick up where you left off. That's a good read for parents. And this is very easy. You know, the chapter headings are segmented by the different 20 teachable virtues. And let me ask you before I get into them, Kevin, what do you think? If you were going to teach virtues, what do you think, what first comes to mind is some of the things Kevin would need to do to teach or pass on those virtues to your children?
Well, you would want to try to be modeling them yourself, because if you try to teach something that you're not doing, they're going to spot a hypocrite a mile away, and then they're going to say, hey, how come you don't do what you're telling us to do? But I'm very much in the Dennis Prager school on this. If I have the choice between raising a child who has a full measure of self-esteem and is totally healthy physically and all these other things, but they have a flawed character, they're not honest and they're not good and they're not kind, I would rather them be good and kind and honest than have all the other advantages that life could offer them. And I know that runs counterintuitive to what a lot of parents think today, but I'm more concerned about who they are as a person in their soul than what they get to experience and what they get to live out, physically. So that this would be kind of right up my alley. I totally want this stuff to be going into my kids.
Okay, well, bravo. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I mean, sometimes we think it's the playing chess and the tennis and the great grades and the supercomputer literacy skills and all that stuff. And that's great. That's important. But the most important, as far as I'm concerned and as far as you're concerned, are the values and the virtues. They lay the foundation for everything else. Those are the things that kids carry with them, and they affect friendships, marriage, relationships at work, and ultimately mental and physical health. So, you know, these are things, you know, as parents are thinking about buying expensive presents for their kids and going on expensive trips, always come back to the things that really matter. And you said, when we talked about how do you teach virtues, you said, and you were right, Kevin, modeling the behavior yourself. So number one, you model the behavior yourself, for sure. Two, always be on the lookout for additional models of the behavior.
Right.
You look for other people in your family who model the behavior, people in literature, in movies, because you want to be able to point it out to your children whenever you see it. You want to encourage the practice of the behaviors. That's number two. Three, reinforce the behavior with praise and privileges. P&P, praise and privileges. And also be aware of teachable moments to bring attention to the behavior and the virtues that you want to instill in your children. What do I mean by that? If patience is a virtue, which according, you know, to Dr. Wyckoff, it's certainly one of his 20 teachable virtues, a teachable moment might be when you're online and going to the movies or, at the cashier, and you're getting, you know, Kevin's getting a little impatient, your child's getting a little impatient. Perfect time, perfect opportunity to talk about patience, to discuss it. That's your teachable moment. So here are some of the I'm sure this would be on your list, Kevin, but the teachable virtues: empathy, fairness, courage of convictions, courage not being paralyzed by anxiety and fears, humor. The silly part of humor, not sarcasm, but the
right.
Silliness in life. Respect, loyalty, patience, self-reliance, self-motivation, self-discipline, trustworthiness. Those are just some of them. I don't think I went through all 20, but certainly that's the foundation.
Well, and it's a very good whetting of the appetite for people to get more. The name of the book, 20 Teachable Virtues.
Yes, by Dr.
Right.
Wyckoff.
By Dr. Wyckoff. Shelley, thank you so much. This is very, very good stuff.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, when we continue, someone who I would love to introduce a book of virtue to, Anne Hathaway, the actress. She had something to say. I'm going to have to deal with it next. My final thoughts, just around the corner.
Buttafuoco & Associates has successfully won nearly $500 million in verdicts and settlements. Dan talks about representing Scott.
Scott's case was one of the most important cases my office ever handled. First of all, Scott was a true public servant. He was actually working as a state police officer when he was injured. He was riding an ATV on the dunes when it hit a defect that shouldn't have been there from an old snow fence. His ATV flipped over, he broke his neck, and he became a quadriplegic. The state offered $0 to settle this case, so it was all or nothing. We had to win this case, which we did. In state court, the case settled for close to $15 million. The actual payout is closer to about $40 million, so Scott is set for the rest of his life with his family. The case was so important it made the front page of the Law Journal.
For a free evaluation of your case, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-669-4878, helping accident victims rebuild their lives. Buttafuoco & Associates, 1-800-669-4878.
Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I have more energy. I can get up and get going. I can do things I couldn't do. I can walk in the store instead of jazzy. I can clean. I can do things I haven't done for 8 years since I had the failure and had been on dialysis. It's helped me to walk. It's helped me to do heavy laundry, to clean my house, to feel like I'm not dying all the time. It just gives me a happy, it's helped so that I'm not depressed and sad and worried all the time. And mainly, it has given like a new boost in life. I really believe in it. I love it.
For a limited time, use discount code THEMISSION, and we'll take 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies and have them shipped to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code THEMISSION.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, so glad to have you with us, and thank you for taking us along with you as we try to give you, you know, what's happening in the news and also try to help you understand what it means and why it matters. I have such a very, very good job because my management team here, Jerry Crowley and Phil Boyce here in the Salem offices of New York, they have done such a good job of empowering those of us that have the microphone to really do the best job for you possible. Phil has spent a lot of money to research exactly what you're looking for, and what we are trying to do is give you exactly what you've asked for. You've asked us to help you understand the events of the day through a grid, through a worldview that makes sense to you, and that's what we're committed to. And from early in the morning all the way through until late at night, Salem stations across this country are doing that. And the two stations we have here in New York, we're just so honored to be able to do that for you. And we do that through great partnerships. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that if you have not yet gotten your complimentary sample of CoQ10 Energy, I've got a bottle waiting for you. It's a 16-ounce bottle of the Berry Fruit Punch. This is an energy drink that has no caffeine, no sugar, no calories, no carbs. And you can get yours for free at kmcfree.com, kmcfree.com. I'll pay for the shipping to get it to you, but I just want you to try it. Doesn't have anything that's going to make you jittery, but it will get you through the 2 o'clock lull. Finally, Anne Hathaway, you know, the actress, she's kind of a special selective outrage kind of snowflake. She put this on her Instagram this weekend. There are no words for my horror. My country gassed children. And she said, to those who immediately speak of doing it the right way, who will, quote, blame the parents for putting the children in this position, or say they were storming the wall, that they were throwing rocks, the only human response to this monstrous use of force against legal asylum seekers, against children, is condemnation, shame, and rage. And for those of you still believe in voting for the man who recommended using lethal force on families, fleeing violence and persecution, this is the policy you'd like? I'm just curious if Anne Hathaway knows anything about what she's talking about. Because while in her mind, she's assuming that this last weekend, the one time that Donald Trump has used tear gas on the border when people were trying to storm our point of entry, I wonder if she knows that the previous administration used tear gas almost 80 times over the course of 8 years, and several of them in the exact same point of entry. The exact same spot, under the exact same circumstances, illegals trying to storm the border. I just wonder. I wonder if these actors and actresses ever read. It'd be so helpful. I'm Kevin McCullough. See you next time.